a long time. That's one of the best in 10 years. I remember when we used to live in Los Angeles as a little boy. That was my favorite song, going to church. Always singing about God. God was watching the little birds. God was watching me. Not, you know, like the scary thought, like, you better watch out, you better not pout kind of watching. But the God was just watching over me. Watching over my life. How free that little truth can make a person's life. But we can sit and we can listen to the song and we feel it. We feel the music. We feel the volume. We go, wow, that's pretty. Chills are up and down our spine. But we miss the message. Living out the reality that God is watching out for me. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to worry. You know, Christianity is the most awesome life in the world when it's believed in practice, but it's meaningless when it's not. That's the value of Christianity, is when it's believed and it's embraced and I practice it. I buy into its message and I allow it to permeate my heart and my life. You know, there's probably nothing that is quite as frightening to most people and leaves them lacking in their confidence and feeling insecure than the unknown. The future. What's tomorrow going to bring? I know people who simply ruminate every day and panic over what their health might be like 10 years from now. You know, when my mother had breast cancer, maybe I will. You know, my father had diabetes, well, maybe I will. So-and-so had heart disease, fifth cousin, seven times removed, you know, and maybe I will. And we worry, and we worry, and we worry, and we feel so insecure about our lives. And you know, you look out in the world around us, and of course, as human beings, we are very fragile, aren't we? We're, frankly, a lot more fragile than a sparrow. You know, I've been sick. Well, I'm not today. I'm feeling a lot better today. But since I got back from Honduras, December, I've been sick for about 60 days. And then Thursday night, I was actually feeling pretty good. I went to bed about 10. I woke up an hour later, violently throwing up, shaking uncontrollably. Couldn't control my bowels. I'm sitting there shivering and shaking. I had three sleeping bags on me. My teeth are chattering uncontrollably. And I had this massive attack on something that I can't even see inside my body. We're fragile. We're fragile. And, you know, people come up to me and they're so caring. And I appreciate it. They go, Mark, you ought to try this. Mark, you ought to try that. Listen, you not believe how good a shape I keep myself in. You not believe. I do all the things. Drink my green tea. Take my calcium. Drink my vitamin C. I don't eat much junk food, if hardly any at all. I work out six times a week. Even when I'm sick, I work out. I get the sleep you're supposed to get. You know, hey, God just reminds me. Mark, you're weak and you need me. You need me. We're so fragile. And then you look at the world around us and you've got Kosovo kind of flying apart at the seams. You've got Yeltsin almost dead and Primakov, who may take over, who does not like the West. You've got weapons of mass destruction being made in Iraq and we can't really do a darn stinking thing about it now, can we? And any day they could shoot off some missile. We've got Japan falling apart. We've got the Brazilian crisis. We've got Russia's economies going down the toilet. And, you know, we're hoping, we're watching our stock market, and every day it'll go up, and then it comes down, then it goes up and comes down. There's a lot of things that could give you the jitters in our world. It's a scary and unsettling place. There's nothing sure about the world you and I live in. So how is it possible that we can smile? Have you ever asked yourself that question? How is it possible that we can have confidence and that we can look forward day after day to something positive and wonderful in our lives? You know, I'm going to share with you today three things that I know today that I know for sure will happen tomorrow and every future day of my life. Basically, what I'm doing in this series, I'm sharing with you all my secrets to the confidence and security that God has given me. And I don't have any corner on it. It's here in the Bible. And you can apply it to your own everyday life. But you know, that's really the critical question as to whether or not you'll hear it and just hear it, or you'll hear it and you'll do something with it. But these three things are true every day of our life. No matter what the economy does, no matter what the weather does, no matter what my body does or does not do, these three things give me absolute confidence about tomorrow. In fact, I get really excited to get out of bed every day. And these are three of the reasons why. There's not one day that I don't look forward to getting up out of bed and going, "Wow, Lord, I'm looking forward to these three things today." All right, and I'm going to share them with you. And I'm going to share with you this morning how they've impacted my life, and I think you'll understand how they can impact yours. The first one's found in Psalm 27. Psalm 27 in verse 13 and 14. You know, what's beautiful about the Bible, about the Scriptures, the Word of God, whatever it is you want to call it, is that it's not a collection of beautiful literature, but it's a collection of absolutes. It's a collection of perspectives. It's a collection of truths that give you permission to tap into the resource of God and to live your life in a different plane. You know, I told you last week that what the Bible does and what I've learned to do in my life and what you can learn to do if you want, if you really want it. And that's what you're going to have to decide if you really want it. Is I live in a different reality. I don't live in the reality that other people live in. I live in the reality that is God. I live in the Bible's reality. And in that reality, there is peace, and there is joy, and there is happiness, and there is contentment. And so I live in that mental and emotional reality, and I impose it on my physical world. I impose those beliefs on my physical world. And I've learned to impose those beliefs on my emotional world. I don't allow my emotions to take me wherever they want to go. That's not very fun. Not very fun to have your emotions just steamroll over you all the time. You ever been really afraid? I've been really afraid. It's not fun to be really afraid. As you grow as a Christian, as you practice the things in the Bible, you know what happens? You become really strong. And stronger and stronger. And you're able to maintain your joy level. And you're able to maintain your perspective. And you're able to maintain your confidence because the things that life throws at you didn't quite knock you off course because you're strong. Because you're strong. Because you've learned to develop your mind and your thought life around the Word of God. This book is everything to you. It's everything to you. That's why it says in the Bible that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Imagine what it would be like if you didn't eat for a month. You may be big and strong today, but I'll tell you what. You don't eat for a month, and you're going to be real susceptible to being robbed, beat up, discouraged. In fact, if you don't eat right, you get irritable. You get agitated. You get attacked from inside and without. Same is true with the Word of God. If you don't feed your soul, if you don't strengthen your soul, is it any wonder that we're so anemic? And we feel so powerless in our lives. We don't have to be like that. God intended for you to be a powerhouse in life. He intended for your soul just to well over with fatness, as the Bible calls it. And be really plump and full and rich. Psalm 27. Yet I am confident that I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. First Bible I ever read this out of was in the New American Standard Bible, and it says, I would have despaired unless I believed I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Let me tell you what I know for sure every day of my life. God is going to be good to me. Today, God is going to be good to me. Tomorrow, God is going to be good to me. Every day of my life, I expect God to be good to me. The Bible says the Lord is good, and what He does is good. Psalm 23 is kind of our family psalm. And about 20 years ago, I wrote a song to this passage in the Bible. And I was going to have my kids come and do it today, but they couldn't be here. They had other commitments. But I'm going to read it to you. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along the right path, bringing honor to His name. Even when I walk through the dark valley of death, the place where I could feel afraid, I will not be afraid, for You are close beside me. Your rod and Your staff protect me and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You welcome me as a guest, anointing me, my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Now, you know, you can read this and go, boy, those are pretty words. Or you can live them. Now, I want to tell you what. I'd rather live them. I'd rather live them. I want to experience the Bible. I don't just want to hear about the Bible. I want it to be a reality in my life, and God wants it to be a reality in your life. God is your shepherd every single day of your life, whether you believe it or not, whether you feel it or not. He is your shepherd. And goodness is following you every day of your life. Now, there's a few conclusions you can draw as a result of that. Number one, it means that even though things look bad, they're really good. That means that even though things look bad, they're really good. I could stand up here all morning and tell you of all the bad things outwardly that happened to me that have actually been wonderful things that happened to me. You see, with God, good things come disguised in bad packages. And if you forget that, you're going to miss out on life. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for all the good, bad things that God allowed in my life. See, He molds diamonds under pressure. We make precious stones and the rocks that we collect by putting them in a polisher for 30 days, and the grit and the grime hit the rock and take off the edges, and all of a sudden you get this little piece that was gravel, and now it's something people pay money for. So even when difficult things come in our life, and they will, they're good. But it's not just the difficult things, it's the wonderful things that we look in our life and we go, wow, that was good, Lord. That was good. And I thought I'd just share a few of them with you this morning. And I began this journey with God 23 years ago. And I put all my eggs in God's basket. I didn't have nothing to fall back on. I just had God to fall on. The Bible tells us that those who hope in the Lord will never be disappointed. Now I tell you what, you hope in love, you'll be disappointed. You hope in money, you'll be disappointed. You hope in great sex, you will be disappointed. You hope in food, you'll be disappointed. You hope in your exercise plan, you'll be disappointed. But you hope in God, and you will never be let down. God is not in the business of letting anyone down. If you ever felt you got let down, guess what? You just got it wrong. You gave in to bitterness. You gave in to resentment. You gave in to doubt. God never disappoints us. Now, He may not do everything you think He's going to do because He's got a bigger and a better plan. But it's always better. If He doesn't do what you thought, it's because He got something better. Not because He doesn't like you and He doesn't care about you. You are the apple of His eye. And it was about 4 years ago, I could tell you a lot of stories like this, but I was trying to pick out just a few. It was about 2.5, 3 years ago, actually. And I had this van, and the van had a lot of miles on it, and I had it paid off. But I hadn't quite saved up for another vehicle. I hadn't even come close to saving up for another vehicle, actually. And one day, I just out, and you know, sometimes I don't pray about things you might expect, and sometimes I don't pray about like little things. To me, a vehicle's a little thing. You need a vehicle, you just go out and get one. This is kind of a man talking, you know. So I thought, I really need to pray about this vehicle. I said, Lord, I'm not a very rich man, Lord, and I don't have a lot of money. I can't go out and sell more product and get an extra bonus next month. So, Lord, I just got this much money, and I just want to ask you to bless me financially. See, I've just asked you, just bless me. Just make my money go farther than it ought to go. And I ask you, Lord, that you just provide for my family in ways that I don't deserve. Well, I left that particular day, and next few days I just kept praying that. About a month later, I get a call from my brother in Texas. He says, Mark, he said, I was wondering if you need a van. He said, well, what have you got? He said, well, I got this 93 Aerostar van with 19,000 miles on it, Mark. And that was the year, I think, then was 95. He said, now I bought this van for the company I work for. I special ordered heavy duty equipment on it. It's got all the amenities. And he said, the book value is about $12,500. And I think they want to sell this for about $9,000. Are you interested? I said, well, David, I said, that's really thoughtful of you. But $9,000, that's a lot. And I don't have that kind of money. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll talk to a few friends about it and I'll pray about it. And call me back in a couple days. All right. So I went out and I just said, Lord, hey, I'm just going to ask. I'd like that van if you want me to have it for between $5,000 and $6,000. Hey, that company, they got billions of dollars. He works for Fujitsu. They got billions of dollars. I said, Lord, I just pray that you just shine down a little on me. And, that van's been paid off for a long time and they got their use out of it. But I just pray that, I could get it for that. So about 4 days later, my brother calls. He goes, Mark, he said, man, you're not going to believe this. I said, well, what's going on? He goes, you know what they want to sell that van for? I said, no, what? $5,800. They're going to let it go for $5,800. Now, new, the things are $19,000 with the equipment that was on it. And only had 19,000 miles on it. It's in immaculate shape. And I kind of chuckled. He said, why are you chuckling? I said, oh, I'm just kind of funny. I said, David, if you'd like first dibs on it, you can sure have it. He goes, no. I said, it's kind of interesting, David. I said, I was praying that I get this van between $5,000 and $6,000. He goes, it figures. He said, it wouldn't have happened to me anyway because I wasn't praying. They'd have left it at 9. David and I, we have a long friendship, and he's seen a whole lot of these kind of things happen to Kathy and I over the years. He's one of my brothers that's the most spiritually minded. A friend flew me down on his companion pass for $70, and I drove it back from Texas. Or I think about the Rock and all that God has been doing in answer to prayer. And just God's goodness. And I remember when I first started thinking about doing something like the Rock, and I thought, Lord, I'm kind of old. I don't know. Maybe I feel like you've used me with young people, Lord, but maybe I'm just out of touch. But I think you want to do something. And I remember when we first started thinking about raising the money, and it was right after we'd raised the money for Lakeville. That was a lot of money. And boom, we tried some things we never tried before. We tried doing it right on the spot, asking people to commit right on the spot. And in a week, all the money had been committed. And I remember Greg and I, way before that, we were praying and looking for a place to go and looking for just the right place to meet, because it has to be just the right place. Greg looked at places to lease in the warehouse district, and they didn't have any parking, and they cost a lot of money to fix up. Finally, Greg called and said, well, Mark, I got three places. First one was De La Salle. Nope. The next one was this other high school with this big auditorium and no parking. Nope. He said, well, I got this one other place and I'm not sure it'll work. It was a real expensive private school. They've never rented to anybody. But we can go look. I said, okay, let's go look. We walked up the sticks, walked into the building. Before I even saw the whole thing, I just said, Greg, we got to have this place. This is the place. I mean, we got two fireplaces here. This is the place. We couldn't buy this kind of a thing if we had the money. He said, well, it's not going to be easy. I said, well, you know what? We just got to talk to God about it. We got to talk to God about it. We need this place. So we just began asking. And we went to see the lady who was over the building. And she said, well, I got to tell you guys, this isn't going to be easy, you know, because they've never rented to anybody. It costs $12,000 a year to send your kid there. That's about as much as Hamlin, I think, or McAllister College. And so we went. Well, it turns out that the principal of the school, from what we can find out, because we've never got to meet her, knows the Lord. And she saw our references. For some reason, after all these years of being there, they decided to take a risk with us. And then 3 months later, she died. Went to be with the Lord. Every day I get up, expect God to be good to me. Every day. You know why? It isn't because I deserve it. It isn't because I'm a pastor. It isn't because I prayed, although God promises to answer prayer. It's because I expect God to be God every day of my life. And that means God's going to be good. You can count on God being good more than you can count on the sun coming up tomorrow. God is going to be good to you, not because you deserve it, but because He is God. So revel in it, my brother and sister. Revel in it. Enjoy it. That's the kind of God you have. He loves to be good. He loves to be good. You know, even when I'm sick, He's always made me well eventually. And even when I've had to speak, you know, my job really involves my voice. So many times I've had to stand up. It's like, Lord, I can't even talk here today. But you're going to have to give me strength today. Because this message needs to be delivered. And always God comes through. You can always count on God. Now, second thing I look forward to every day is found in the book of Hebrews. And I want to read it to you. Another one of my favorite passages in the Bible. I go to often and reflect upon it in my mind and with my eyes. Hebrews 4, verse 15. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. For he faced all the same temptations we do, yet he did not sin. You know, have you ever just sat in your living room or in your car at a park or on a walk and just walked and meditated? Pondered this, God understands my frailties. And we don't tend to think about that, do we? We tend to think, God is so sick and tired of my humanness. God is so sick and tired that I just blew it one more time, added on top of the already billion times I've already done that same stupid thing. I don't ponder that. I don't go down that road. The road I go down is, God understands my human stinking frailty. Because He was like me once. He lived in a body. Only difference is He never gave into the things I give into. But He understands. And so look what it says. So, when you understand, God understands. When you understand, God understands. Come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We don't, so often, let me tell you, I've lived in the same human skin you have. We don't expect mercy from God. We expect God to pop us one upside the head. That's what we expect. And I hate to say this, but if you were raised Catholic, you know many of you were raised to expect that. I was raised Baptist, and I was raised to expect that. It's amazing the misrepresentation of God that we've learned from religion. God is a merciful God. And He doesn't kind of grit His teeth and go, oh, fine, here's some more mercy. Jeez, I'm so sick and tired of giving you mercy. Mercy, 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 mercy. Can't you ever do anything right? Some days we can't. Some days it's just how it is. We're like a little kid in the middle of being potty trained. You wish they do better? They don't. Just wipe it up and try again. But God, He never wipes it up with a scowl on His face. And you notice what it says there? It says, come boldly. You know what bold means? It means certain and assured, full and brimming with confidence. That's what the Webster says. You feel like that? God wants you to feel like that. That's your birthright to feel like that. It's not your birthright to go through life afraid all the time, cowering in the corner all the time. You come boldly right up to God. It's, God, I need some mercy and I need some help and I need it now. Great. He commands you to come. He invites you to come. He entices you to come. So I wake up every day and I know that goodness and mercy will follow me. When I was a little kid, my mother taught me this song. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days. It's an old tune. You know, we need to change the tune, but the truth's still the same. I never forgot it. Goodness, mercy. They just chase me. They're the hounds of heaven just chasing you all the time. Mercy, 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 mercy. And you need it. I need it. I blow it every day. If I did not know that God's mercy was in my life, I'd quit my job. This is the toughest job I've ever done. I've done a lot of jobs. This is the toughest job I've ever done. Do you know why? It's not because it's so physically strenuous. It's because you get pot shots taken at you all the time. It's because you're so frail in your humanness and you're trying to lead people in spiritual life and Satan's right there all the time, wringing your neck, pointing out your faults, pointing out your failures as well as other people around you. God is merciful. He loves to give you mercy. And the last thing that I count on every single day in my life is found in Psalm 92, and I want to read it to you. The reason I read you these is because I want you to know I'm not making them up. This is your book of permission. This book gives you permission to believe what's written on its pages. Psalm 92. It is good to give thanks to God, to sing praise to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening. Lord, you thrill me with all you have done for me. I sing for joy because of what you've done. Oh Lord, what great miracles you do. You know, have you ever gone around the house singing because you felt like singing? Have you like been in your car? You know, sometimes you don't want to drive up beside me on the highway because I just got the stereo cranking and I'm just singing away, you know? Kind of like Wayne's World. You know, he's just singing away in the car. Man, I'll tell you, you know, when my daughter was my oldest now, and she was little, she'd be back in the room, the door would be shut, she'd just be singing, God, I love you, God. It's so great to know you, God. Only she'd sing better than that. I'm just being a little sarcastic, you know. It was precious. You know, sometimes I just stand in the hall and cry. Don't you get it? That's how God allows you to feel in your life? Just burst out in song? What usually makes us burst out in song? Let's think about it. Because something good happened to us. The reason we don't burst out in song more often is because we're dwelling so much on the negative crap in our lives that we feel like singing the blues. But when you start to think every day of how good God has been to you, how wonderful it is to know Him, and of course what I wanted to share, this third thing, God is faithful to you. That's the most often heard phrase from my mother growing up. Mark, God is so faithful. God is so faithful. And I watched my mother live it out. I remember when my father left my mother, left her penniless. And to be honest, in a sense, left her jobless. My mother never worked outside the home. My mother never been past the sixth grade. He left her with five kids and a second mortgage on the house. And I know my mother had some tears. And I know my mother shed some tears. You know what? My mother never had a nervous breakdown. My mother never lost it. My mother never called me on the phone and said, Mark, I just can't handle life. My mother never did that. You know why? Because for 30 years or 25, it was 25. She'd been married 25 at that time. My mother had learned the three things I'm telling you. And she held on to the joy of God. And you don't think it's scary? You don't think it's absolutely frightening to be 46, 47 years old, have the most confident man you've ever been around walk out in your life, leave you penniless? She was evicted from her house 30 days later. And my mother, just tell Mark, God's just so faithful. Mark, hey Mark, God got me a job at a bank today. I could be working in a factory, Mark. God got me a job in a bank. Every time you see, if you ever get to meet my mom, she's about 5'1". She's just the sweetest, smilingest lady all the time. The luckiest guy in the world to have her for my mom. And you know what? I have seen over and over and over. I can tell you from experience. You listen to me carefully. There's very few of them in this room. There are some that have been through as many life situations as I have. I've been married almost 20 years. Few of you in this room have been married 20 years. I have four kids. Two that are now out of college and work. And let me tell you something. Everything God said He would do, He did it. And He's still doing it today. Everything He said He'd do. And my mother's often called me and she said, you know, Mark, you just become such an encouragement. I said, well, Mom, you become such an encouragement to me. We just encourage each other. Telling each other God stories all the time. Thought I'd tell you a couple of the faithfulness of God. You know, when I first got married, I was very young and very inexperienced. All I had was God and the Bible. That's all I had. I didn't have a penny to my name. Not a penny. I didn't have a dime in savings account. I didn't even know what a savings account really was. And Kathy and I, we began this adventure. And 2 weeks after we got married, she conceived. So I was expecting my first baby at just before I was 23. And we didn't have any insurance. I didn't know how we were going to make it, but I knew we had God. Well, you know, the papers, they're always trying to scare you. I don't know if you know this, but there's a grand conspiracy to keep you from having children. Like, there's not enough food to feed them. Bogus. There's not enough space. Well, there's an awful lot of space. And here's the big one. Why, one child will cost you $100,000 to raise by the time you're done. Well, now they raise it. They raise it all the time. Hogwash. That is so much crap. Well, it's not crap if you buy all their clothes at Baby Gap. And if you get them Calvin Klein underwear. And every shoe they ever wear costs $90 a pair. It'll be a little hard for you. But if you don't buy into that, let me tell you something. You can do a lot less than that and still come out with great kids. Because I've done it. I've done it. And you know what? All these years just kind of relying on God's faithfulness. Well, when I was younger, I didn't have I had no way to ever help my kids with college. But I wanted them to go to college. You know, so you're supposed to have all these special plans and you put money away and put it here and put it there. And nothing wrong, by the way, with planning ahead, by the way. It's just I made $4,500 the first year we were married. Gross. That wasn't back in the 40s either. That was 1980. The next year I made $5,000. So, you know, there wasn't a whole lot for the savings account. About 2 years ago, some of you may or may not know, my wife and I, my wife in particular, of course, has taught our kids at home. And my son was 15 at the time, my daughter 16, and they were entering their junior year of high school, and then senior, that was going to be their last 2 years. And someone told me about this program Minnesota has, that if you take your junior and senior at college, the state will pay for it, just like they pay for kindergarten through 12th. Well, you know, we've never cost the state nothing because we've never taken advantage of anything. So I thought, you know, let's look into this. My wife goes, what? You're thinking of doing what? I said, hey, I think they're up for it. Let's just send them to college now. Oh, geez, Jeremy's only 15. So 16, I said, I don't care. I think they can do it. Besides, it's free. All they got to do is take a couple tests. She said, well, all right, I'll look into it. So she looked into it. sure enough, they were able to pass the test. They weren't, you know, that tough. It wasn't like, you know, rocket science or anything. So we went to the counselor the first week before school and sat down with her and said, "Oh, ma'am, here's our plan, all right? We don't want any college courses or high school courses." "No, I'm not worried about that. I want all the college, all the freshmen, all the sophomore college courses now. I want to load them all up on those." "Wow, well, that's pretty aggressive. Well, we want to give it a try. Well, all we can do is fail. I mean, we'll probably succeed. We want to give it a try." Well, you know, 2 years later, they graduated with their AA degree and their high school degree all at the same time. For nothing. Gee whiz. I guess God took care of us. He was faithful. Then I just began to pray over the summer. They went out to a leadership training program, and I just began to pray, "Lord, when they come back, give them a perfect job. Lord, give them jobs, each of them. Wow, give them jobs, Father." And every day I prayed for that. Every day my wife and I, we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. We prayed for just the very best job. Well, my son and daughter came back and they applied downtown to IDS Tower at American Express. My son got a job right away. My daughter didn't. Oh, my son got put on to do the Series 6 test, which is kind of challenging. To him, it was like Chinese. The high world of finance is not exactly his strength. So he studied and studied, got paid to study, and then took the test. And, well, he didn't pass the test. But you still have a job there. So he got a week where you go apply for all these other jobs, and then you get paid. And then you get a week that you don't go in, and they pay you then. On the day he failed the test, she got a job there. And they pay her every day. They pay for her bus ticket. She didn't have to pay anything. You just drop her off at the Mall of America, which is two blocks from our house. And she goes to work and gets chauffeur driven every day and driven home. 2 weeks later, Jeremy gets a job. Both of them have $4,000 or $5,000 tuition reimbursement programs a year. Full time. 1.5 mile from where we live. He gets off at 5. She gets to the bus station at 5. He drives home, picks her up. They put on 28 miles a year on the car just going to work. And I'm going to tell you something. I just got stuff every day to jump up and down about. If you don't, pray more. Pray more. God answers prayer. And you know God, Jesus, as he walked the earth, he would go, "What do you want me to do for you? Oh, what can I do for you?" Now, that doesn't mean God's a magic genie in a bottle. It doesn't mean I can dictate terms to God. Frankly, I was praying, "Lord, I'd like them both to work at American Express." God had a better plan. My son ended up making more money than if he'd stayed at American Express. They're both making more money than I made when I first started pastoring 12 years ago with 3 kids. I can't believe it. God is so good. He'll be faithful to you. He'll be good to you. He'll be merciful to you. The Christian life is the most exciting and fulfilling life in the world. I want to dare you this week to believe these things. I want to dare you to get up every day and say, "You know what, Lord? On the basis and authority of your word, I expect you to be good to me. I look forward to your goodness today. I'm just not going to believe anything else. You're going to be good to me." And even if things look a little bad today, I remember 1 month on the same car, I had 6 flats in a row. Now, did I say ouch? Of course. But you know what? God used it to build good character in my life. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And God gave me mercy and he gave me greater patience. And God was faithful to me. I remember the 7th time when it blew. I just put brand new tires on it. I was driving down the highway to Myrtle Beach, 75 to 80 miles an hour. And I'm zipping along and all of a sudden, boom, 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 flap, 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 flap. And the back tire blew out. I've never had that happen before. Brand new tire blew out. You know how it is when you're vacationing? You got to unload everything out of the back. This happened to me. I had to unload, start unloading everything. And I was starting to just, "God, I just cannot believe it." And I was just ready to say why. Highway patrolman pulls up behind me. I calm down really quick. "How are you, sir?" "Fine, young man." "Says, looks like you got a problem." He says, "Hey, let me give you a hand." He pulls out a couple leather gloves, takes the tire off my car, and puts it back on. Turns out he's a Christian patrolman. And I just sat in my seat and I thought, slap you in the face, Mark. You were going to lose it. You were going to get mad at God. God was looking out for you. Don't you forget it. You come back next week, I'm going to give you three more things, all right, that have given me tremendous security and confidence. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning that whether, Lord, we buy into these things or not, you know they're true. They're true. I just pray, God, with all my heart, that you'd bring every person into this room, young and old, into this experience, into this God reality every day of their life. We're the luckiest people in the world, Lord, to know you, to have you involved in our day, to have you involved in everything in our life. We can stand, we can walk, we have eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to taste and to talk and hands to touch. And we have you in our life. Lord, I could spend all day recounting the goodness of God in my life personally. The faithfulness of God, the millions of times you've shown me mercy when I didn't deserve it. I deserved slapped on the backside. Lord, I just pray you'd surprise men and women this week with your great goodness and your great faithfulness. Remind them that no matter what comes in life, no matter who else deserts them, you will not. They can lean strong on you. In Jesus' name.